Now, it is that time on a Wednesday morning here on Breakfast when we journey down Sydney's historical past. And historian Mark Dunn currently joins me in studio for Dictionary of Sydney. And today he's talking about Sydney's Tank Stream, a freshwater stream that runs underground through the centre of the city. Hey, Mark, thank you for joining me.
Good morning, Julia. Thanks
Good morning.
For having me. Good to be here.
No worries at all. So many of us here in Sydney may not know about the Tank Stream. I, for one, didn't. Can you please tell us more about it and its history?
Yes, well, it is a little hidden under the streets these days. Most people would be walking over it every single day and not knowing it's there. But it's a funny thing about cities. People don't think about cities as being natural landscapes at all. But, of course, cities, towns, everything is built on a natural landscape. So this stream has been running through the city 10,000 years, probably.
Just 10,000,
just
yeah.
Just about 10. it was a freshwater stream that ran through a little valley that now Sydney, the city, is on. But anyone who goes around Sydney will find out that there's valleys and hills all over the place.
Yes.
And it was a very important part of that early, well, of the Aboriginal culture of this city for 35,000 years or so. So, you know, it was a freshwater place that had it ran through a sort of a thick forest down and emptied into the harbour. And it's also fundamental to the reason that Sydney was, the site was picked by the British in the first place. Because when the first fleet arrives, they sort of surveyed all the various bits of the harbour. And this was where Sydney Cove is and where the ferries come in. It's quite a deep harbour, but it had this big freshwater stream that they could then use for themselves to set up this camp, because, of course, water is essential. Mm. The other funny thing about it is when the first fleet arrived, the first governor there, Governor Phillip, actually uses it to split his little camp. So when they all come on shore, the convicts and the military and the governor and all the rest, he looks at this valley and this stream and he goes, right, all right, on the left or on the east side, I'll put my house, and that's where all the judge and the surveyor and everyone else can go, and we'll have our little administrative centre, and all you guys, convicts and military and the rest, you know, get over that side and deal with it on the western side. And then the city develops like that, because now if you go into the city today, on the eastern side, we have Parliament House and the Supreme Court and the hospital and all the specialists. And on the western side, what is left of some residential and the commercial and all the stuff.
Wow.
So even though it's this thing that's, you know, just a little itty-bitty stream, it actually is like the foundation point of what we can still see in the city.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy, actually. But it also, it gets its name, though. It's called the Tank Stream, obviously. So I don't think it had that signpost on when the first fleet arrived. But it's also a story about drought and flood in Australia, which is something that we are continually dealing with as we, even at the moment, of course, droughts out in the western districts. The first, within the first, 6 months, August 1788, there was a flood through this thing after a lot of heavy rain, washed away the first sort of huts that had been built around it and all the rest. And then there's a drought as well, which means that the governor at the time, Governor Phillip, digs some, or gets his convicts to build these large water reservoir tanks into the side of it, into the sandstone.
Wow. And,
you know, again,
just casually.
Yeah. They hold about 20,000 litres each.
Jeez.
They're worth four of them. And of course, once they've got tanks, everyone goes, well, we'll call it the Tank Stream.
Tank Stream,
that's
there's the
good.
Name. That's,
yeah,
behind the name there.
So it actually gives us a whole bunch of names, because it's also, once they've got these two sort of sets of town set up, they need a bridge. So they build a bridge over it and a little street that runs off the bridge, which of course becomes Bridge Street in the city.
No way.
Because that's where the bridge.
This is blowing my mind.
Over the thing. So there's all this sort of stuff. It's also the site of our first environmental laws, because Governor Phillip, within 12 months, realises that this is an important thing for the community, and even though the community's tiny, but he realises they need all this fresh water, and by then people are using it to wash themselves and animals are in it and all the rest. So he actually sets a 15-metre boundary around each side where you can't build anything, you can't cut any trees, all this. So he builds this sort of green belt in the middle of what is essentially then a forest, recognising that this stream is so important for the community and the camp.
And speaking of, you know, it was a very important water source for Aboriginals living in the area at the time. How did colonisation affect them and their relationship to the stream?
Well, that went really well.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, of course, there's an increasing tension around this area as Aboriginal people are kind of excluded from it by the British. I mean, there are other streams around the city and around Sydney broadly. If you even in today, if you go into the Royal Botanic Gardens, one of the original streams still runs through there. It's now in a sort of a convict-built channel, but it's open and it's running. So there were other streams and there were springs and stuff in the city. There was actually one that was down close to where we are now, ran sort of from the hill where Central is down towards Darling Harbour. But certainly it wasn't so, well, though, you know, the camp around it meant that Aboriginal people had a more difficult time accessing this. But the way British and Europeans tend to go, they also completely ruined it. So it, not only was it sort of off limits in a way because of this, the camp, but they'd completely stuffed it anyway. So despite the fact that Governor Phillip had put this sort of boundary around it and they built the tanks to get all the water, as soon as Governor Phillip leaves in 1792 and the place is left in the hands of the military go, hey, waterfront land, great. So they just opened it up, cut all the trees down, handed it over to all their mates, and they built houses and pigsties and cattle pens all the way along it. So by 1828, after they've been here 30 years, it's completely ruined and totally useless. You can't drink from it. It's an open, stinking sewer that they try to avoid as much as possible and have to go elsewhere for water.
The old colonial narrative we know all too well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Things don't change.
Yeah.
And, of course, once it's a stinking open sewer, no one wants it. So they then start to think about how can we deal with it. And the one thing they come up with is they eventually start to cover it. So in the 1850s, they start to build like a sandstone, first a sandstone drain around it, and then they cover it over. And as they cover it over, the streets get extended over it. So between about 1858 and about 1870, so 12 years, it slowly gets put into sandstone and brick drains until it completely disappears under the city. And then the streets get pushed back over the top and buildings get built. So it runs, it still runs, and it runs pretty much underneath Pitt Street.
Wow, there we go. You drive across it all the time.
Yeah, yeah, you do. Geez. And there's a few little hints. So there's some artists that did some work a number of years ago and have put some blue, sort of, it's an interpretation of where the stream runs. So it starts, you can see them up in Pitt Street Mall and they run all the way through the city. They're these sort of blue glass installations in the footpath.
Totally seen those.
Yes. Yes. That's the tank stream you're walking across the top of there.
Oh, no way. Yes. Wow.
And
awesome.
If you go down into the basement bars that used to be under the GPO, the big old post office in Martin Place, at the back of one of the bars, it's actually a section you can go in and see the drain. You can see the brick, or the 1860s built brick drains with the stream.
I'm going there straight after this.
After, and it's got a bar right next to it, which is nice.
Oh.
So it's still kind of there. It's still running. It's now a stormwater drain. But because Sydney's a huge sandstone pit, every time it rains really heavily in Sydney, the stormwater obviously comes through it. But all the old little streams that used to run sort of seep in through the side of it. So it's still kind of there. Well, it is kind of, it is there. It's not kind of there. It's actually
it's definitely there.
And it's still, because water has a way of getting through things, it actually still runs, which is kind of cool.
There you go.
Yeah.
And every year the stream is open to the public.
That's right.
With guided tours. How can we go visit it?
Yes. Well, so this has been happening since 1988, funnily enough. So there's a link on, Google Tank Stream Open Day 2019. It's through Sydney Water. I think that's what they're called these days. And through an association with the Sydney Living Museum, so the Historic Houses Trust. And they open up for a weekend in May. The ballot is open currently. And they have to have a ballot because it's so popular, people desperately want to walk through a sewer. I mean, a stormwater drain. I mean, a tank stream. And listen, they clean it all out. I should qualify. I have done this a number of times. It is fantastic. And yeah, they clean it all out. It's very clean and safe. And it's cool. You go down through the streets in the middle of the city and you're in this giant sandstone culvert that's got carvings of the masons who did it. They put their name into the side of it, and there's water sort of coming out of the sides of the walls, and the stream runs through between your legs, and you can walk about 200 metres of an 1860s stream and be on the floor of Sydney.
Walking
quite literally.
Yeah, down history, literally, yeah. I mean, that sounds great. I'm definitely going to enter.
You should enter.
Like right now, because there's a ballot.
There is a ballot. And that's why why they have a ballot. When they first started, they got a little bit of interest, but now it is so popular that they actually have to have this ballot because they get thousands of people who want to go through it.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Definitely go enter that ballot right now if you want a chance to go down and see the tank stream. Well, Mark, thank you so much for your time on the show today. It's been a pleasure.
There'll be more on the Dictionary of Sydney and more on the blog as well, of course.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Mark.
See ya.
So that was Mark. That was historian Mark Dunn discussing the Tank Stream, a freshwater stream that runs through the centre of Sydney in a series of brick and sandstone drains built from the 1850s. And for a chance to win, like we mentioned, to win a guided tour of the stream, you can enter the Sydney Living Museum's ballot, which closes on the 18th of April.